37. We'll look at a verse of Scripture here tonight. Ezekiel 37. Honestly, I'm not going to say much tonight, but it's going to be important what I do say. Amen. Let's get me on here, fellas. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Man. 1, 2, 3. Ezekiel chapter number 37. This is a very, 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 very well-known scripture of preachers. They all, preachers, preached on it forever. You've heard many, many sermons about it, and I don't think it's Ezekiel 37. I was just reading it there a minute ago. And you've heard preachers preach about them Valley of Dry Bones. And that is not what I'm going to preach about tonight, but I am going to preach about the church boneyard. Ezekiel 37 tonight, and I'm going to look at verse number 1. 37, verse 1. Give me attention just for a few minutes. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Boy, that's your qualifications to be a preacher. And carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Stop right there. Oh, Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, I want you to preach. Yes, sir. I want you to pastor. Yes, sir. And he put him right smack in the middle of the First Baptist Church of Dry Bones. Could not get any worse. I feel sorry for preachers that have to pastor the First Baptist Church of Dry Bones. Now, we got our problems here in this church. We do. But it ain't that. It ain't that we're dead. Thank God. Amen. We got our problems. And you got all these young people, got all these bus kids, you got all kinds of problems. But thank God it ain't the Baptist, Dry Bone Baptist here tonight. Amen. I just would not want to go to a dried up, dead church where nobody had any kind of life, no emotion, no spirit. I wouldn't do it. Honest to goodness, I don't see how people stand it. I don't see how people stand and sit there every single week and it just absolutely dry as crackers. I don't see how they stand that. If you've ever been around old-fashioned preaching and singing and worship, you can't stand that stuff. Now look at verse 2. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many. He had a big crowd in the open valley, but lo, they were very dry. Big crowd, dead as 4 o'clock. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? That's a good question. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. He said, I don't know, Lord, you do. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Amen? And behold, a shaking. Not while he was singing, while he was preaching. Not while somebody was giving a testimony, but while the man was preaching. A shaking. And the bones came together. Bone to his bone. And that's what the old song said. Oh, Ezekiel got up and started preaching, and the wind started blowing, and the ankle bone connected to the foot bone connected to the leg bone connected. You heard that old song? That's where it come from, that chapter right there. And hear the word of the Lord. That's what they said. And my mom used to go around singing that, and I thought, what in the world has that got to do with church? Ankle bone, foot bone, knee bone, hip bone. But anyway, I knew what T-bone was, but I didn't know what all that was. And I didn't know what that was. I was about 20. But anyway, they came together. And the Bible said, verse number 10, verse 9, he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord. That's a picture of the Holy Ghost. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. That's what we need, y'all. The breath of God upon us. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. You know what will turn an old, dead, dried up church into an army for God? The breath of God breathing on them. It's not a new program, not a new plan, not a family life center built out there so the kids will have somewhere to play, not a new activity for them. The breath of God blowing down from heaven is what every church needs. Amen? I'm not against all that other stuff, but I'm telling you what this country needs tonight is God to breathe on our churches. They'll stand up a mighty army for God. Now, I don't preach tonight just on the church bones. I've never done this before, but I'm going to mention four or five of them right quick. And the first one that I want to talk about in our church is wishbone. We've all heard of the wishbone. Wishbone, when you eat a chicken, you know, Mom used to get us in one, get one hand, pile up one of them, and you'd pull it. Whoever got the biggest part, the wish come true. That ain't true. Don't believe a word of it. But that's what people used to say. I will say tonight, the church tonight is full of wishbones. I preach a lot of places. I was in revival here just a few weeks ago. And sometimes you sit down to eat with people, and you find a lot of people in churches are disgruntled and dissatisfied. And when you get to talking to them, I wish we had this. And I just wish we had more of that. And I just wish we had something for the old people and something for the grandmas. And I wish we had something for the 30-year-olds. And I wish we had something for the 40-year-olds. And I wish we had something for the 50-year-olds. And I wish we had, and I just wish we had a nicer place. And I just wish we had a, the church is full of wishbone. I just wish we had better music. I wish we had this. I wish. And you know, there's nothing wrong with us wanting to be better. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I'm not going to sit around my whole life and wish. We ought to be thankful for what we've got and enjoy the Lord, and then other things will be added to you. Amen? I'm telling you tonight, one guy told me, he said, I wish our pastor would preach more on this. And I said, I wish our pastor would preach more on that. And I wish my pastor would do more on this. And I wish, we got people in here wanting the pastor to preach on more doctrine. You can learn more doctrine. That's great. And then we got people saying, please, preacher, preach on these teenagers. They need help. And then I got people saying, please, Brother Danny, preach on marriage. My marriage. Please, Brother Danny, preach on that. I mean, you can't do everything. I said one time, this guy said, this guy was fussing about his preacher. And the guy said, I'll tell you how you can get rid of him. You want rid of your preacher? They said, yeah, I'd like to get rid of him and get us another. He said, I'll tell you how to do it. Here's how to get rid of your preacher. And he said, all right, I'm going to write this down. And he said, the first thing to do is sit up on the front row and holler amen every time he preaches. He'll preach himself to death, and you can get your new one. They said, well, I don't want to do that. They said, the next thing you do is say every once in a while, just pat him on the back and tell him you appreciate what he's doing. He'll work himself to death. They said, the next thing you want to do is say, double your Sunday offering. Everybody just give double what you've been doing. He'll go into shock and have to be put in the hospital. I know. I heard about that fellow that time. That guy said, this guy had a heart attack. He'd been backslid about a year or two. And he's in the hospital about to die. And the pastor went to visit him. And he is known for just the same backslid all the time. And he's laying there and he had a heart attack. That's what happens a lot of times when you backslide. God will put you flat on your back in the hospital. And he's laying there, and the pastor said one of his relatives died, and he inherited $10,000. And so it was the pastor had to go in there and tell him, listen, now don't you go in there and get him all worked up and everything. He'll die. He'll have another heart attack, right? You go in there and tell him he got $10,000, his heart rate will go up and he'll die. He said, okay, I'll make it to him easy. I'll tell him easy. He said, we don't want him to have another heart attack. So the preacher went in and he said, how you doing, brother? It sure is good to see you. God bless you and everything. He said, well, got a little news for you. No big deal. One of your relatives died the other day. Oh, really? I hate to hear that. Yeah, he died. And he said, but he left you a little bit of money. I mean, I think it's $10,000, something like that. You know, and he said, nope, no big deal. Now, don't get signed. He said, well, praise God, preacher. He said, my tithes will be $1,000 Sunday. Yeah, guess what happened? Preacher had a heart attack. That's where it usually goes. Ain't that right? That's where it usually goes. Amen. They said that. And then they said this. They said, get the whole church together. Get the whole church together. If you want to get rid of your pastor, get everybody together and pray for him 2 or 3 hours every week. And he'll preach so good, a bigger church will hear about him and call him and take him off your hands. That's what they said. But you know what? The church is full of wishbones. And all the time people that wish this or wish that very seldom are doing very much at all. And so tonight, you don't want to be that. Number two, the second bone that I want to talk about tonight is your funny bone. Y'all know what your funny bone is? It's somewhere right around in here. And boy, sometimes you just hit just right. You hit just right somewhere around in there, and you'll find out what your funny bone is. I don't know why they call it a funny bone. It ain't funny. When you get hit right there, it feels like electricity shoots through you. But anyway, they're the funny bone. They're always real touchy. Get their feelings hurt easy. Least little bitty thing don't go their way, they're ready to just fuss and complain or bail out. Least little thing. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I just don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like... They're the funny bone. They're the ones that always say, if every little thing don't go exactly like I want it to, I'll just take my bat and ball and go home and I'll quit playing. And the devil tricks them into just abandoning ship, and they just don't get to be a blessing like God wanted them to be. They're the funny bone. You know, they said... you ever heard the old saying, playing possum? You know where that comes from? A possum is the biggest, best hypocrite that anything in the world except Baptist. And they said that a possum, honest to goodness, they say a possum, if you can scare it, it'll fall out of a tree and lay a hot kiss. And honestly, you can't tell if it's dead or alive. Have you ever seen one say, playing possum? And that's what you say, that's what people say when you say, oh, he's just playing possum. And you know what they're doing? They're acting like he's dead and he's laying there trying to be a hypocrite. And so tonight, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be no funny bone. You ought to be what you are. Amen. Stand up and be a man. Stand up and be a woman. Serve God. Live right. If you ain't doing something right, get it right. If you're doing something wrong, quit it. If you can't quit, kick yourself. And honor God and try it again. Get in the hall. Serve God and do right. Don't be a hypocrite. Amen. Right. Number three, there's jawbone. Jawbones all talk. Some never do nothing but yak, 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 all the time. Lord, mercy, just talk, 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 talk. Ever since I've been preaching, there's been people talk, 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 talk. They told me up in Marion 30 years ago. They said, who called you to preach? I said, the Lord did. They said, where'd you go to school? I said, nowhere. They said, oh, you got the biggest church in the county, in Western North Carolina, and you didn't go to school? That's right. Who said you to preach? I said, the Lord told me to preach. And they this and they was that. I've been accused of everything from selling drugs to beating the babies in the nursery, brother. That's true. I mean, that ain't true, but I've been accused. It's true that I've been accused. And brother, I'm telling you tonight, you name it, ain't said it about me. I'm telling you, God knows the truth. He knows my heart. He knows who I am. And thank God that He does. If I'd done everything everybody said I did, I'd be in prison. Lord have mercy. As a matter of fact, if they ain't talking about you, you ain't doing nothing. Yes, right. Say nothing, do nothing, be nothing, and ain't nobody gonna say a word. Say something, do something, be something, and they gonna talk about you. Right. I would give you a dime for a preacher that the community loved. He ain't preaching. Woe unto the man that everybody speaks well of. Jawbone. Amen. You know, this morning we had here today in the service this morning, we had a man that hadn't been to church in there's no telling how many years. Isn't that right? Now I'm telling you, God got a hold of that man. He was here this morning. No telling how many years. No telling how many prayers have been prayed. I called him the other day and he said, Danny, I ain't seen you in years. And I invited him to church and thank God he walked in here this morning. That's something to shout about right there. Amen? Now you can do one of two things. You can look at all the bad stuff the devil's doing, or you can look at the good stuff that the Lord's doing. Amen. And if the devil ain't doing something, you ain't got much of a church. Amen. There was a lady this morning. I didn't tell you this, Junior. There was a lady walked in here this morning, and I joke around with people. Sometimes I joke around with people, and I think, oh my goodness, I should have said that. I didn't know her from. I said, good to see you, ma'am. What's your name? And she told me, I said, do I know you? She had a girl with her about 18 years old. I said, was me and you in prison together? I just life and cutting them. She said, well, we might have been. I said, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. She said, I really have been. I said, it's okay. I deserve to be there. I said, I shouldn't have said that, man. Could not. That's like a lady come to hear me preach one night. There's a lady sitting beside her, and she had a little pooch on her belly. And the lady just trying to be nice said, oh, is this your first? The woman looked back and said, first what? You don't do that. She said, first time hearing Brother Denny preach. You don't do that. So I should have said that. But anyway, she had a girl with us this morning. She said, this is my daughter, so-and-so. Said she used to come on the bus a long time ago. And she said she finally grew up and got her license. And her mama said, that's what she told me right back there in the lobby this morning. She said she's been wanting to come here ever since she got her license. She remembered. Said she used to ride Junior's bus. Think about that, bro. I don't even know her name. I tell you, he used to bring her to the house of God. And as soon as that girl got hold of her, she said, I want to go shine light. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Amen. Now, the truth is, everybody ain't happy. I mean, we've had a few fall out. You can't do nothing about that. I tell you what you can do. You can shout about what God's doing. Have I told y'all lately God is still on His throne? Have I told y'all lately He don't even feel bad? He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Lord of God, He's still real. The Bible's still true. Heaven's still sweet. Hell's still hot. And it's good to be saved. Been old jawbone. I heard a man one time. He went to church. And an old preacher got to preach about 80 years old. And sometimes when a preacher gets up, sometimes I don't let a preacher preach for you. I let them preach for them. And I hope you're mature enough to help them. We've got several preachers started back in the ministry like that over in the old building. I hope you're mature enough for that. And there's an old preacher got up, 80 years old. And he got up, and the man sat there, and he said, all I'd done while he was preaching was pick out false, the stuff he wasn't saying right. You know, 80 years old, my goodness, man, give a man a break. And he said, there's a lady sitting behind me, and I thought I'd turn around to her and criticize. He said, I sat there and picked out the false. I don't believe him. He didn't. That ain't true. He don't know what he's talking about. And he said, I turned around to criticize him to this woman, and she was crying. And he said, ma'am, are you all right? And he started to criticize that preacher. And he said, big tears running down her cheeks. And she said, every word he spoke was right to me. I needed that so bad. And I thought, that's so different how people sit in church. One person will sit there and find fault the whole time, and the other person sitting right there hearing the same sermon, and every word of it's just going right in their heart. You know what your problem is? You're looking at me instead of looking at the Lord. Don't look at me, y'all. I'll let you down. I will disappoint me. You and me and the Lord. And you will disappoint me. Don't look to me. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Let the preaching speak to your heart. Hey, one of the biggest mistakes you'll ever make in life is when you get mad at the preacher by not turning him off and not listening to him. That's a big mistake. You better go ahead and listen to him. He's God's man. He'll say what you need to hear. And brother, don't be an old jawbone. Number four, quickly, and I'll be done in a minute. Dry bone. Jesus said, Matthew 23, woe unto them scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you appear outwardly beautiful to men, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones. They look good and real clean on the outside, but there is a doornail on the other side. I mean, on the inside. Somebody walks in and say, "Good to be saved, ain't it?" They look at you like, "What's good about it? What's wrong with you?" Oh, dry bones, look like they're mad as fire. I know people that every time they come to church, look like they, an old preacher, you say, eat salt briars. You don't know what that is. I don't either, really. Some kind of briars out there mules eat. It's like they eat briars and they taste it down with lemon juice on the way to church and will sit there like they're about to die. I'm telling you, brother, don't be a bunch of old dry bones. Who was it? I believe it was me and Brother Derek talking about this the other night. Honest to preaching all the time. And when you preach, it's just like I hate to use this comparison, but there's many comparisons between it and a sporting event or the politician giving a speech or something. The crowd interacts with the preacher. And they're supposed to. And you know what? I've heard messages by some of my favorite preachers, and they're in a big church or whether you can't hear the crowd. And it's not near as good as when you hear that crowd. You know what makes him count meeting preach good? You know, all these guys up here saying, "Amen! Hallelujah! That's right! Woo!" It makes it better. What if you saw, they said there's a ball game this week. Some rinky-dink playing another rinky-dink team. Who'd you say it was?
The University of North Carolina.
I've never heard of them. North Carolina have a team this year? Do they? Oh. And they're playing one worse than them. Who's that? The Devils, yeah. The Blue Devils. They ain't got no team, do they? Now, honest to goodness, do I like to watch Duke, North Carolina? Yeah, I do. You know why? Brother, it's on, son. It's a war. I like that. Some of them fans come on there and it shows them, Lord have mercy. You don't have to ask them whose side they're on. You know what? I'm going to help y'all and you can help me now if you'll listen to this. I'm telling you, them Duke fans, I seen them boys up there, they all had their shirts off. They had their shirts off. And one of them had a big old D on his belly. And the next one had a big old U on his belly. And the next one had a big old K on his stomach. On national TV. And the camera's right there. And he's going, We're number one! Woo! Just like that. And everybody goes, Yeah! They're ready for blood, brother. Where's it going to be at? Is it at Duke or North Carolina? It's at Duke. Okay. All right. The Cameron Crazies. That's what they call them, the Crazies. Y'all kids know who the Cameron Crazies are? That's the Duke fans. And boy, they go crazy. Woo! Get them, kill them. I believe you ought to root for your team. I'm all for that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But I tell you what if you went home after we have a good service Wednesday night, come to church first, and you turn that on, and all the Duke fans were sitting there like this. Playing with their phones while the ball game was going on. That's all people are dog pawing or something. And they dunked it. And they just went, "Well, this is boring, man. You know what makes it good? Them fans. You know, we was talking about college basketball and pro basketball. I like pro because they're better. But most people like college basketball better because, you know what makes it good? The fans get into it. It's fast, man. I mean, you come down there. We seen one the other night. We had a game the other night. And it was, it come down. It's 59-59 in the last minute. And this one old boy, some of y'all was there, this one old boy, he was out there, and this is church ball, and you ain't supposed to cuss in church ball. If you cuss, they throw you out of the gym. And I ain't heard nobody cuss all year, but this boy was cussing. And I did hear him. That's the first person I've heard cuss all year. Most of them have a real good attitude. We pray together, we shake hands, we have a good fellowship, and a good Christian fun, and that old boy cussed, and we tried to, and said, "Man, calm down." "Oh, you bangity bang, bang, bang," like that. He was mad. And it come down with 40 seconds to go, and we was tied up. And I believe about 40 seconds, he got to shoot a free throw. And he got on the line, and all the time, all of a sudden, come on, man, come on, man. And he went over and went, started blessing himself. I said, what are you doing, man? He's out here cussing like crazy. And he got on that line. So I go, oh, God, help me. I thought, Lord, what a hypocrite. But you know what? It was funny. We laughed about him. And after it was over, he wouldn't even come over and pray with us. I said, come on over here. And we got in a circle, and I got down the middle. I said, now, boys, basketball ain't going to matter one of these days. All that's going to matter is whether or not you live for Jesus. I said, this ball game ain't going to matter tomorrow. We did win, 61-59. We pulled it out at the last minute. I said, boys, basketball don't matter. It's just a game. It's just a game. Live for Jesus. He said, oh, his head down. Just look at it right there. Hold on. But you know, our fans was getting into it. And that's what makes it good, is when the fans get into it. You don't want a dry ball game. That Super Bowl, brother, they went crazy. They went crazy. Now, I'm telling you tonight, when we come to church, you ought to participate. That hand ought to go up once in a while. That head ought to nod once in a while. Foot ought to kick out once in a while. Y'all, once in a while, just run back and say, it's good to be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the things that kills me on Sunday morning, we got Joey's back yonder, Jason's working, all our ameners are out, and it's quiet in here. And I know you're listening, I love you and all that, but Lord, participate, people. Amen. Vibe on. Heard about that man had the diver's disease. He dives for the church door every time Sunday school's over. He dives for the couch on Sunday evening, don't come back on Sunday night. By the way, the biggest hypocrite in the church is the person that gripes about the church not growing but won't visit. Biggest hypocrite in the church. Biggest hypocrite in the church is the man who says we can't buy what we need and don't pay his tithes. If you ain't tithing, shut up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Quit finding fault with everybody else. You ain't even doing your part. I'll throw that in there for free for you tonight. I love you. God bless you. Last thing I'll say tonight is the backbone. Thank God for the backbone. Every church got to have backbone. Precious to God and the pastor and the church. Amen. I'm telling you something, brother. The backbones are the ones that get up and say, preacher, we had company show up just in right before church time, so we brought them with us. Amen. That's your backbone. Your backbone is the one that said, preacher, my little boy is sick, and my wife stayed home with him so I could come this morning, and I'll stay home with him so she can come tonight. Your backbone is the one that said, preacher, so I didn't have time to change clothes, just got off work, but I'll be there. I'll tell you, that's your backbone. Your backbone is the one that says, I know it looks impossible, but with God's help, we can do it. Your backbone is the one that says, of course I'll accept that responsibility, pastor. It's a privilege. Not... You better not ask me to do nothing. You're the jellyfish. The backbone's one that said, I'll be glad to help you visit. The backbone's one that said, God spoke to my heart through that sermon. Amen. The backbone's what helps you stand up. You ain't going to stand up without your backbone. If your backbone, you just like that. You know, you just fall over. I can stand up straight tonight because my backbone is right and strong and holding me. And that's what a church needs. Stay on the bus route. When it's cold. When it's hot. When it's easy. When the crowd's up. When the crowd's down. I remember we used to have, we still have big meetings. And we have a big meeting, and everybody comes in and shouts. You always got these people that want to come and get in on the good time. Like championship, you know. But boy, the backbone is one that's there when cold weather and hot weather and rough times. And if you can't be there, let you know they're praying for you. And hang in there. That's church bones. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Church bones. Now it's obvious to you tonight.